Welcome to another edition of the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. On the heels of Cervical Cancer Awareness Month in January, Julianne Cooley, a computational data science research specialist at the UC Davis Comprehensive Cancer Center, spoke about her research on patterns related to screening and survival rates among patients with cervical cancer who are 65 years and older. In her study, Cooley explored how survival rates among patients 65 years and older with late-stage cervical cancer diagnoses were lower compared with those of younger patients, and how the current screening paradigm may be impacting those older populations. So first, I want to ask you, what were some of the key findings in the study?
So some of our key findings include, although women over 65 are not recommended to be screened for cervical cancer typically, about 20% of the cervical cancer diagnoses were actually among women who are over 65. And unfortunately, the majority, or 71% of them, were diagnosed late stage compared to younger women who 48% of them were diagnosed late stage. We also found that among both early stage and late stage cervical cancer diagnoses, five-year relative survival was worse as women grew older. And then just among women over 65 who were diagnosed with cervical cancer, we assessed associations with increased likelihood of being diagnosed late stage. And we found non-adenocarcinoma histology, increasing age, the presence of comorbidities. Those were the factors most associated with an increase in late stage cervical cancer diagnosis. We actually found that being Hispanic or Latina made women over 65 less likely to be diagnosed late stage. And marital status, health insurance status, rural urban status, and year of diagnosis were not associated with women over 65 being diagnosed late stage.
Definitely a lot of disproportionate outcomes for these older populations. You mentioned a lot of key data. What were some of the findings from this research that surprised you the most?
Something that surprised me was that unlike in younger women who are diagnosed with cervical cancer, there wasn't really a subgroup of women that was more vulnerable to late stage diagnosis. It was more across the board. For example, in younger women with cervical cancer, those of lower socioeconomic status, Black and Hispanic Latina women, and those who are unmarried are the most likely to be diagnosed late stage. But it was more across the board among women over 65, health insurance status, marital status, if they lived in a rural or urban community, socioeconomic status, none of these were made a woman more likely to be diagnosed late stage. They were all pretty vulnerable to late stage diagnosis. And then we also found no association between year of diagnosis and late stage diagnosis. So, you know, there's no trend of this getting better or worse over time.
I see. And I know that the study mainly focused on a population of patients from California, but how do you think these findings might apply to the greater US patient population?
We used California Cancer Registry data, which is a large population-based data set. California is a mandatory reporting state, and it consistently meets the highest data quality standards. It's very diverse in terms of age, socioeconomic status, race, ethnicity, urban and rural centers. And then our findings confirmed other smaller US and European studies as far as that women over 65 share or have a large share of the cervical cancer diagnoses and a disproportionate amount of the late stage diagnoses.
So there definitely are like links to other parts and other regions of the country and the world.
And right.
I know current guidelines recommend against screening women over the age of 65 for cervical cancer, but do you feel that guidelines may need to be adapted in order to account for these findings, or do you feel that more research needs to happen first?
I think that more research needs to happen first. We can't say with our findings whether the guidelines should be changed because We didn't have access to the information of if these women over 65 who were diagnosed with cervical cancer were being screened according to the guidelines or if they were not prior to turning 65. But we do know from prior studies that as many as 23% of women over the age of 18 are not up to date on cervical cancer screenings, and over 50% of those who receive an irregular cervical cancer screening result did not follow up on the test. Prior research has also showed that as women approach 65, as they're getting older, they're less likely to adhere to the screening guidelines. And so many women over 65 are still vulnerable to cervical cancer because they were not getting screened as they should have been prior to turning 65. And so the guidelines might be adequate, but because women are not adhering to the screening guidelines prior to turning 65, they're still vulnerable to the disease and delayed stage presentation.
And you did mention that more research needs to happen first. Is your team planning any follow-up studies regarding this topic?
We aren't currently, but I do think that future work should focus on this and focus on determining if women were getting screened according to the guidelines and if they had any lapses in follow-up care.
What strategies do you think could be implemented in order to mitigate the survival outcomes highlighted in your research?
Like I just said, I think it's imperative to determine a woman's screening history and lapses in follow-up before ending her cervical cancer screening, even if she's over 65. And also to offer catch-up tests to women over 65 who did not adhere to the screening guidelines or aren't sure if they did. Now, HPV tests are the gold standard for cervical cancer screening, but they were not widely used until about 2003. And so many women over the age of 65 never had a HPV test, and they're actually more sensitive to cervical, or they're actually more sensitive tests than Pap tests, especially in women who are postmenopausal. Also, it's important to spread awareness of cervical cancer symptoms and risk factors to women over 65. And then in younger generations, there are several strategies to prevent cervical cancer, such as the HPV vaccine. HPV is the causative agent of about 90% of cervical cancer cases, regular testing, and then in other countries, less invasive testing has been used successfully, such as urine and vaginal self-swabbing. And so many women in the U.S. have cited the discomfort of a speculum-based exam as reasons to not adhere to screening. So those haven't been approved by the FDA yet in the U.S., but that could perhaps increase adherence going forward.
What do you hope that your colleagues take away from this conversation or the research in general?
I hope to raise awareness that many women over 65 are still vulnerable to cervical cancer, and that it's very likely that a woman did not actually adhere to the screening guidelines prior to turning 65. So it's important to determine that information prior to not screening her anymore, even if she's over 65, and to offer a catch-up test. And also determining if there was follow-up, if there was any irregular screening.
I see. Thank you. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss on this topic or anything related to your research that we didn't touch upon?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, in that case, thank you for your time in talking to me about your research. I greatly appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.